Okay, as soon as the verse gets up on the board, you may stand in honor of the Holy Scriptures. It's Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and adulterers, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You may be seated. I will tell you that today I postpone my sermon that I was giving. I started out just doing about 5 minutes of this. I'd go, and at 5, got to 10, to 15, to gee. I discovered stuff, and the story kept on expanding. And I really don't have enough time to tell you everything I found out. But I will tell you some things that I found out that I never knew before about this whole incident. And that's the thing. And this incident happened right here, right in our territory. And I'm sure there's people across the country who want to know what's going on. It's quite a story. It's still going. And we pray that that lawyer will really put it to the Jewish media. I have to postpone my sermon topic, as there must be some comments made on what happened this past week with the Covington Catholic High School Colonel students who were in Washington, D.C., participating in the March for Life that was against abortion. The sermon title is The Lone Colonel. After the march was over, they had a few hours of free time before they had to meet at Lincoln Memorial to catch their buses and return home. It was while there they were all gathering, waiting for their buses, that the trouble escalated to a national event. It's really a world event. Even the President of the United States got involved, as he tweeted. Here's what he tweeted. Nick Sandman and the students of Covington have become symbols of fake news and how evil it can be. They have captivated the attention of the world, and I know they will use it for the good, maybe even to bring people together. It started off unpleasant, but it can end in a dream, unquote. He then invited them to the White House after the government shutdown was over. Also at the Lincoln Memorial were individuals known as the Black Hebrew Israelites, who were also marching for their cause, whatever that was, along with the Indigenous People March with their leader, Nathan Phillips. There were a lot of people who were taking videos and sending them out on YouTube. Many of them went viral, especially the shorter version. 2 minutes instead of the one that was 2 hours. The 2-hour video gave an entirely different picture of what happened, while the 2-minute one gave an isolated and distorted view. Of course, the media, being the broadcasters of the truth that they are, only reported what was in the short version of YouTube and slammed the high school boys and the high school as being racist. It made the front page of the Tuesday Cincinnati Inquirer newspaper. Local and national talk shows were discussing and having interviews. There was a quick response from the school authorities, who very quickly apologized all over themselves and said that an investigation would be made and discipline would be given, and if warranted, expulsion. The school was located about 10 minutes from where we are meeting today. It is in Park Hills, which is right next to Covington, Kentucky. I have a 92-year-old uncle who went to Park Hills Elementary School, which is very close to Covington Catholic High School. Right across the street from Covington Catholic is the female parochial school, Mount Notre Dame High School. You can see the back of this school as you drive on Interstate 75 71. The mayor of Covington said that he is embarrassed because individuals are blaming his city for the students' behavior and that the school is not in Covington but in Park Hills. I bet he didn't say that when the Covington Catholic won the state football and basketball championships of the past few years. The young man at the center, what is described as a hostile confrontation with an Omaha tribal elder last week, denounced what he called outright lies on Sunday, 1:20, saying he was trying to remain calm to diffuse the tense situation. Here's what he said. I am the student in the video who was confronted by the Native American protester. The young man, Nick Sandman, a junior at Covington Catholic High School in Covington, Kentucky, said in a statement his family issued through a public relations firm. The widely circulated video shows young men, many of them wearing Make America Great Again hats, appearing to surround a Native American troop as it performed a song about strength and courage at the Indigenous People's March in Washington on Friday afternoon. Sandman has become the face of the apparent confrontation, smiling silently only a foot or two from the face of Nathan Phillips, a Vietnam War veteran, or maybe he wasn't. More about this later. He is a prominent activist for Indigenous people's causes. Critics have characterized the young man as smirking and trying to stare down Phillips. But other longer videos have complicated the narrative, suggesting that there was jeering by a separate group of people before the incident recorded on the most widely circulated video. Here's a picture of Nathan Phillips. I entitled the taunted or taunting Native American. Sandman said Sunday that when his group arrived at the Lincoln Memorial, the site of the Indigenous People's March on Friday, he heard four African American protesters who said he directed derogatory insults at our school group. They also taunted an African-American student from my school by telling him that we would harvest his organs, Sandman said. I have no idea what that insult means, but it was startling to hear. Sandman said that with the permission of a teacher who was serving as a chaperone. He began leading the group of students in school spirit chants to counter the hateful things that were being shouted at our group. After a few minutes, the Native protesters began approaching, he said, accompanied by at least one person with a camera. Referring to Phillips, Sandman said, I never interacted with this protester. I did not speak to him. I did not make any hand gestures or other aggressive moves. To be honest, I was startled and confused as to why he had approached me. We had already been yelled at by another group of protesters, and when the second group approached, I was worried that the situation was getting out of control where adults were attempting to provoke teenagers. I believe that by remaining motionless and calm, I was helping to defuse the situation, he said. I realized everyone had cameras and that perhaps a group of adults was trying to provoke a group of teenagers into a larger conflict. I said a silent prayer that the situation would not get out of hand. Sandman, who said he has received death threats, strongly disputed characterizations that he is a racist, saying, I am mortified that so many people have come to believe something that did not happen. Believe something that didn't happen. That students from my school were chanting or acting in a racist fashion towards African Americans or Native Americans. He goes on and says, I did not do that. Do not have hateful feelings in my heart. and did not witness any of my classmates doing that, he said. I have read that Mr. Phillips is a veteran of the United States Marines. I thank him for his service and am grateful to anyone who puts on the uniform to defend our nation. If anyone has earned the right to speak freely, it is a United States Marine veteran. In the Sunday Inquirer, in an article, Covington Catholic faces backlash over video by Max Lonberg, quotes Vincent Schilling, a member of the Mohawk tribe. I wanted so bad to walk up those kids and say, you know, this is a Vietnam veteran, right? This was a common thread throughout the many articles and emails throughout the world. And that Nathan Phillips was a Vietnam veteran and deserved the respect of others. The article goes on to quote his Indian friend again. To see Mr. Phillips treated this way is an incalculable amount of disrespect, and it's absolutely unacceptable to Native culture. The rest of the article accuses Covington Catholic of acting in a respectful way to Mr. Phillips, the great hero of the Vietnam War. In another article in USA Today, Covington outrage shows danger of mobs. Mr. Phillips is quoted as saying that he believed the beastly teenagers were attacking the four black individuals, and he intervened. The interaction between the boys and Phillips followed, with Phillips beating his drum in front of them for a few minutes. We'll talk about Nathan Phillips. Who is the supposed leader of the Indian tribe? What is his background? He and they say he was a Vietnam veteran, and he said that he did recon assignments. How was he raised in the Indian tribe? How was he as a teenager? Have you heard anything about this? Number one, Nathan Phillips did not serve in Vietnam. He is now 64 years old. That means he was born in 1954 or 1955. The war was over in January of 1973. Nathan was just 18 years old when the war ended. According to his official Department of Defense release form, Nathan was in the service, but he never served outside of the country. He admitted on an interview with Savannah Guthrie on Thursday morning on the Today Show that he never said that he was in Vietnam. He never left the States. With all the articles that said that he was, he should have corrected them, but he didn't. Phillips was stationed stateside in the Marine Corps Reserves as a refrigeration mechanic and was cited for being AWOL three times. After 4 years of service, he was discharged as a high-ranking private. In a 2008 Indian Country Today article, it was reported that Phillips described coming back to the United States as a veteran of the Vietnam era. People called me a baby killer, and a hippie girl spit on me, he said. The Lakota People's Law Project, some of whose members participated in the Indigenous People's March with Phillips and later encountered the Covington students, who later had taken part in the March for Life, described Phillips as a Vietnam veteran. That was incorrect. I mean, they were lying. But Phillips himself appeared not to have claimed he was in Vietnam, repeatedly describing himself in interviews as a Vietnam Times veteran. In the year 2000, however, he described himself to the Washington Post as being a Marine Corps infantryman, without mentioning, for the vast amount of his service, he had been a refrigerator technician. Phillips did not respond to questions about his military record, record discrepancies or his criminal record. Nathan Phillips lied about being a Vietnam veteran and what he did in the service. Number two, did you know that Nathan Phillips has a criminal record, including assault and escape from jail, besides having misrepresented his military service? Phillips suggested that high school junior Nick Sandman, the teenager at the center of the viral encounter, should face expulsion for failing to accept any responsibility or apologize to Phillips publicly. What? In his own teenage years and early 20s, Phillips, using his adoptive name, Nathaniel R. Stannard, was charged with escaping from prison, assault, and several alcohol-related crimes, according to the local news reports at the time from his hometown of Lincoln, Nebraska. Phillips, who was 19 years old at the time, was charged with escaping from the Nebraska penal complex, where he was confined May the 3rd, according to a May 9th, 1974 article in the Lincoln Star. The court approved the bond of $500 and set a preliminary hearing for May 14th. He pleaded guilty to assault on June 19th, 1974 and was fined $200. In addition, he was charged with underage possession of alcohol in 1972, 1973, and 1975, as well as negligent driving without a driver's license. A destruction of property charge against him was dropped in August 1973, but Phillips was sentenced to a one-year probation for a related charge of alcohol possession by a minor. In December 1978, he was charged with driving without a license. Phillips did not respond about his military record discrepancies or his past criminal record. In fact, it's hardly ever brought up in any article. Number three. Did you know that Phillips was not raised in an Indian tribe? When he was 5 years old, he was adopted by a non-Indian family whose name was Stannard. This was the last name that he used from that time on through his military service. He went to a public high school. So why did he criticize in an interview on Sunday with Rewire News the Covington Catholic students with their behavior, saying Native American children would not be allowed to act that way? We're indigenous. We're different than that. When we see our youth going the wrong way, we go up and say, "You're doing the wrong thing there, nephew or grandson," he said. "This is just the wrong way," I tell them. "This is the way you have to behave. This is wrong. This is right. You got to do it a certain way. We have protocols." You know, if, referring to the Covington Catholic student, was my child, I would not be happy with the school officials right now to allow my child to behave that way. I don't care if my child is that way, Etta Phillips. When he's out in public, he better behave. But Phillips was forcibly taken from his birth family at age of five and struggled with alcoholism as a young man before becoming sober. He has also spent much of his life agitating for Native American causes and seeking his own identity as a member of the Omaha tribe. When he was 21, he wasn't even considered to be acting in a way the Indians acted. Phillips said, "I was raised away from my family. I was put in foster care. So I didn't have a traditional indigenous upbringing. I was brought up just like these young guys were brought up. Well, maybe I wasn't in Catholic school, but I was in public school." Is Phillips really an elder in the Indian tribe and one of their spokesmen? Number four. The interaction between the boys and Phillips followed, with Phillips beating his drum in front of them for a few minutes. The footage suggests they responded to his presence with goofy, jocular warmth. The most offensive sight is several students doing a stereotypical tomahawk chop, a rude and disrespectful gesture to be sure. But overall, the students behaved unremarkable. The initial media narrative that the boys had targeted, mobbed, and harassed a Native American man in some hateful display of racism and white supremacy appears to have been woefully misguided. Number five, Mr. Phillips intervened between two groups, the Black Hebrew Israelites and the Covington Catholic schoolboys. He referred to the teenagers as being beastly, and that they were attacking the four black individuals, and he intervened. So Mr. Phillips got his drum and beat it, talking or singing in a strange language, and walked in right in the middle of the high school group. He quickly came face to face with one student, Nick Sandman. There he beat his drum, singing in a language that was unknown to his listeners, about a few inches from his face. How was that to diffuse anything? He was never asked. We can see in the video what happened. Black Israelites were yelling rudely and hatefully at the anti-abortion white kids and also at the Indians and other passerbys. The white kids began making noise to drown out the black insulters. The high school students were rushed by a band of Indians led by an old Indian, Mr. Phillips, with a drum. The white kids just stood there. All this was racial harassment of white people, both from the blacks and the Indians. The media ran with, "Oh, but look at his smirk. He's giving hatred through that smirk," and went nuts with it, calling for violence against the lads when they were condemned by the school itself, which said it was going to start expelling these kids for having been attacked by the disreputable series of brown mobs. When asked why he was felt compelled to speak up to the teens, Mr. Phillips said, quote, "For me, just to walk by and have a blind eye to it, something just didn't allow me to do it," unquote. I want you to remember this answer, as it will be repeated later in the sermon. And there's a picture of the confrontation. Sandman and Phillips. And you can see the drum, it's right there. The sixth thing. Several years ago, Nathan Phillips accused students at Eastern Michigan University, whose mascot used to be the Indian tribe of the Hurons, for dressing up as Indians at a party. It's not the first time Phillips has been in the news due to a racist confrontation. In 2015, Phillips told WJBK, Fox 2, that he was attacked by a group of Eastern Michigan University students who were dressed as Native Americans at a theme party near Ypsilanti. After telling the group that what they were doing was racially offensive, one of the students allegedly threw a full beer can at him, hitting him in the chest. Eastern Michigan story ends there. No charges, no discipline taken against students, nothing. Even though a raucous party of students dressed in Native American garb hurled racial insults and a beer at Nathan Phillips, nobody seems to have found enough evidence to do anything about it. And when he was asked, why did he climb over the fence to confront the students, he said, "For me, just to walk by and have a blind eye to it," he said, "something just to allow me to do it." The same thing he said about the Lincoln Memorial fiasco. And it was like the situation at the Lincoln Memorial, as Phillips said, that the students were saying very racist things. they were making remarks to each other, such as, "In my state, those Indians are nothing but a bunch of drunks." Well, he means Kentucky. "How do I report that?" Phillips claimed, according to the Associated Press. "Those young people were just roughshodding through our space, like what's been going on for 500 years here, just walking through our territories, feeling like this is ours." Phillips also claimed to hear chants saying, "Build that wall," and people telling him to go back to the reservation. These are indeed disturbing allegations. One problem is they can't be proven. And there are multiple videos of the encounter. Savannah asked him about the claim that the students were shouting, "Build the wall." She said it was not on any video that this was said. Mr. Phillips replied he had heard it on some videos. Savannah just then said, okay, and dropped it. Has Phillips come forward with an amazing, fictitious story that the video taken from the scene doesn't seem to corroborate? Number 7. Savannah failed to question him on this incident that happened just one day before the confrontation in the video. What happened the day before? The Catholic News Agency reported Phillips and a group of about 20 demonstrators on Saturday evening tried to force their way into the, it's a long name here, the National Shrine Basilica in Washington, D.C., to shut down the Virgin Mass, Vigil Mass, thank you, while playing drums and chanting. So he's playing, he beating the drum, and they're chanting while they're trying to have a mass. What do you think happened? While demonstrators chanted and played ceremonial drums, protesters at a rally led by Nathan Phillips attempted January 19th to enter Washington, D.C.'s Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception during a Saturday evening mass. The confrontation happened Sunday. This is Saturday night. The group of demonstrators were stopped by shrine security as it tried to enter the church during a Saturday evening virtual mass, according to shrine security guard on duty during the mass. "It was really upsetting," the guard said. "There were about 20 people trying to get in, and we had to lock the doors and everything." The guard said the incident was a disappointment during a busy and joyful weekend for the shrine. Suppose someone came in here beating a drum, chanting. What kind of... We've had hundreds and hundreds of people all over the country come here to celebrate life, to celebrate each other together. That a protest tried to come inside during Mass was really the worst. The guard said the situation was tense. "I'm just really grateful that nothing too bad happened." They were really angry. A source close to the shrine's leadership corroborated the security guard's account that during the mass, Phillips and the group tried to enter the church while playing drums and chanting and were prohibited from entering the building by security personnel who locked the main basilica doors with the congregation still inside. In respect and reverence for the mass, the individuals were not permitted to enter the basilica due to the disruption it would have caused during a solemn mass. I think it would, beating of the drums. The individuals were asked to leave the property after it was determined they did not intend to share in the celebration of the mass. There is a video that shows the group led by Phillips ascending the front staircase of the basilica, chanting and playing drums. A smaller group of protesters appears to attempt to enter the basilica, with the larger group continues to ascend the front stairs before stopping at a landing. The participants who attempted to enter the shrine can eventually be seen returning to the larger group of protesters. A California Samaritan who was not permitted by seminary officials to publicly be identified spoke about his experience of the events. I was outside when the protesters were coming up the steps of the Basilica. I was curious because of the noise and the chanting. At first, I didn't take it too seriously, but as they came up the steps, we were told to go inside. I was with a group of people from California there for the March for Life. The security people shut the doors and locked them. Well, now we'll talk about the black Hebrew Israelites. The news media, owned by the Jews, omitted talking to one group who was the worst of them all, the black Hebrew Israelites. How is it free speech when you are shouting offensive, lying comments to passerbys? I even thought that was against the law, as there have been several people in the last year who have been fired by saying just one offensive word. Why have these individuals been granted the right to be so offensive and evil without any repercussions? Savannah talked to Nick Sandman, the Covington Catholic teenager, and Nathan Phillips, the Indian drum beater, about the incident. But who was ignored? In fact, who was ignored by almost every article written? No one said anything about this group, except they were there. And they were broadcasting their views in a very rude, offensive way to their hearers. Is it free speech to shout to others that they are racist, bigots, white crackers, dusty ass crackers, child-molesting faggots, incest kids? We want to F your mother, MF, Jesus was black, the blacks are the covenant people of God. They taunted a black student from Covenant Catholic and said that they would harvest his organs. They even jeered the Native American activist. You're not supposed to worship eagles, buffaloes, and rams. That's why the Lord took away your land. And so forth and so on. They said these many horrible, plus a few good things about homosexuals, for over an hour. Most of these comments were directed at the Covenant Catholic students and others who were there. But no one said anything about them except mentioned that they were there. No interviews. No hate comments. No one said that they should have their homes burnt down. They received no hate emails. No one said they should be killed by being put in a wood chopper, etc. They just kind of disappeared. And it was just Nathan Phillips and the Covington Catholic boys. Should the black Hebrew Israelites apologize? I have seen no one in the media question their strange and antisocial activities. If they wanted the students from Covenant Catholic to apologize, what about the black Hebrews? The Southern Poverty Law Center, the Jewish hate group, lists them as being a hate group. And remember, this is the group that the prison allows to have their services in the jail, even though they are considered to be a hate group. That's the Michigan trial. I would think that the black Hebrew Israelites should have been arrested and told by the authorities to stop the harassing of innocent people. What do you think would happen if the roles had been reversed? Would the Jewish press have punished the students if they had called the blacks niggers, child molesting faggots, incest kids, and so forth? Who are the black Hebrew Israelites? Anybody know who they are? The black Hebrew Israelites traced their roots to 19th century America. Their founding belief is that African Americans are the direct descendants of the Israelites of the Old Testament and God's chosen people. They claim the transatlantic slave trade was prophesied in the book of Deuteronomy. For them, it's proof of their ancestry. This is the one belief that unites all denominations. There is no one founder, but early organized denominations combine Jewish and Christian traditions, such as eating kosher, gospel singing, and wearing skullcaps in prayer. The name Black Hebrew Israelites were coined in the 1960s. Before that, members were called Black Jews. I will tell you, I work with a lady who was a member of the Black Israelite Church. We had some interesting discussions. A related belief holds that white people are Edomites, the genetic descendants of Esau, the twin of Jacob. Now let's think about this last statement for a second. They say that they are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Since they are black, then these three fathers also must be black. Everybody agree with that? Esau, who they say is black, had two twin sons. Isaac, who they say is black, had two twin sons, Esau and Jacob. They say that they are descended from the son of Isaac and Rebekah, who were black. They say that white people are descended from his older twin, Esau, who was the son of Isaac and Rebekah, who was white. I don't understand. It's over my head. This is genetics going berserk. If white people are Edomites, are there no white people before this time? There are no white people after Esau either. For if Esau married two Hittite Canaanite women, his offspring was mongrel. So this branch of the family was black-white mix. He did marry an Ishmaelite woman, so this branch of his family was an Arab-white mix. There was no pure-blooded white people on the earth. Ridiculous. If blacks are the chosen of God and white people are the sons of Esau, then who are the Ashkenazi Jews descended from? Who are the Sephardic Jews descended from? Who are the Hasidic Jews descended from? Who are the Reformed Jews descended from? The Black Hebrew Israelites are a black supremacist wing that is guilty of racism towards white people. They are known for aggressive street preaching. Notice the six-pointed star on the top of their heads. Oh, then I made another discovery. I never saw this in any news article. I then discovered that former First Lady Michelle Obama's cousin, Rabbi Capers, how you pronounce that name? Fanye is a prominent rabbi in Chicago. Oh, Chicago's terrible thing. Fanye serves as an intermediator between mainstream African-American Jews and their black Hebrew Israelite neighbors in Chicago. Here's a quote from Fanye. The First Lady, referring to Michelle, is 12 years my junior, but she and my youngest sister were born 8 days apart in 1964, and they were very close. I've been to the White House for a Hanukkah party. But I was one of about 400 Jewish leaders who were invited, the black rabbi uttered. In October 2015, Rabbi Capers Fanye was installed as the chief rabbi of the International Israelite Board of Rabbis. In August 2016, he was inaugurated to that position. The board is made up of people who identify themselves as black Jews or Israelites. The head man or leader
or even the Pope, if you want.
The black man or leader of the black Hebrew Israelite is Michelle Obama's cousin, a person who helped plan her wedding, a black Jewish rabbi. Michelle Obama's cousin is the leader of the black Hebrew Israelites. Maybe that is why everyone had hands off of them. We will see. I have to leave this here and come back to it in another sermon. To find out more of what they believe, I went to their website and found the 25 common beliefs of the black Hebrew Israelites. 25 common beliefs. They had 27 beliefs, but I combined two of them to make it 25. Number one, most Hebrew Israelites believe that the creator of the universe is the Most High. He could be called Anahai Asher, Anahai, I am that I am, or so forth. He is Elohim of Israel. He and only him is Elohim. Number two, most Hebrew Israelites believe that the Torah, the law of the first five books of a Christian Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, must be observed. This includes the feast, circumcision, weekly Sabbat, tithes, offerings, consecration, eating clean foods, fasting, and the celebration of new moons. Three, most Hebrew Israelites believe that Yeshua, and other names, known as Jesus in Christianity, is a prophet prophesied by Moses. He was a teacher, he observed, and never taught against the Torah. He was a Jew. I added, was he an Ashkenazi, Sephardic, Hasidic, or Reformed Jew? Offspring of Judah. He was a man of color, and the Father called him his son, and he also called himself the Son of the Father. He came for the lost sheep of Israel. He was crucified and rose out of the dead in 3 days. Number four, most Hebrew Israelites believe the white men or Europeans are descendants of Israel's twin brother Esau, also known as Edom. They also believe the Most High at the end of days has a stern punishment for Esau's children for enslaving the Hebrew Israelites. I just added, see above for analysis of the statement, for Esau couldn't be the father of white people, for his offspring would be mongrelized. Number five, most Hebrew Israelites believe that the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade slaves are the true and authentic children of Israel from the house of Judah, Levi, Judah, and Benjamin, who went to Africa in 70 AD, fleeing Roman persecution. They use as a reference From Babylon to Timbuktu, which states that 1 million Israelites fled to Africa during the Roman persecution, and a prophecy found in Deuteronomy 28:68, which says that the Hebrew Israelites would return to Egypt, the house of bondage and ships, and no one would redeem them. Sixth thing they believe. Most Hebrew Israelites also believe that the Native Americans and their descendants, known as Hispanics, are descendants of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. According to several Hebrew Israelite websites, the Native Americans, known as Native Indians, were exiled by the Assyrian king Shalmaneser, 722 BC, in ships. It took them 1 year to have gotten to the place which is known today as America, north, south, and central. No one lived on the place before their arrival. They also used the pyramid built by the Aztecs to support their assertion. Jim, you got to change your book. Number seven, most Hebrew Israelites believe that baptism with water can and should be done. Number eight, most Hebrew Israelites believe in marriage between a man and a woman. Number nine, most Hebrew Israelites believe the term black Hebrew Israelites is not appropriate, but it's simply a, help me out with that word, pleonasm, as the Hebrew Israelites were originally black. Number 10, most Hebrew Israelites refuse to accept the Talmud because it's written by Europeans during the first century. Number 11, most Hebrew Israelites refuse to be called Jewish because the term Jewish is more definable as someone who is sort of a Jew or someone who follows Judaism, a religion they do not follow. But they do follow parts of Judaism, for they're led by their own black Jewish rabbi, Michelle Obama's cousin. Number 12, most Hebrew Israelites do not support marriage between a Gentile, a non-Israelite, and an Israelite, Negroes, Hispanic, Native Americans, and Seminole Indians. Do they believe non-Israelites include Jews? Think about that. Most Hebrew Israelites do not support marriage between a Gentile, a non-Israelite, and an Israelite. Israelites are Negroes, Hispanic, Native Americans, Seminole Indians. Both the Jews are non-Israelites. Most Hebrew Israelites believe that the term Negro can be used to define the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade slaves and can be used to distinguish them from Africans, Hamites. Ham was the son of Noah, who was white, not black. My comment. 14. Most Hebrew Israelites believe that Israel, not the state of Israel, will be a nation again. 15. Most Hebrew Israelites believe that the Arabs, the Ishmaelites, the Africans, the Hamites, the Europeans, Edomites, worked together to enslave the house of Judah, Judah, Benjamin, Levi. What about the other 10 tribes, the lost 10 tribes of Israel? 16. Most Hebrew Israelites believe that being an Israelite is not a religion, but a nationality and a lifestyle. 17. Most Hebrew Israelites believe that the fall of the United States and the European rule is imminent. 18. Most Hebrew Israelites reject Islam because it was founded by an Ishmaelite. 19. Most Hebrew Israelites practice separatism instead of racism. In other words, Hebrew Israelites don't judge based on color, but whether you're part of the 12 tribes of Israel or not. Now, that's not true. For they say that the 12 tribes of Israel are black, which means they are judging on color. Most Hebrew Israelites reject the Kabbalah and the Quran. Most Hebrew Israelites reject Christmas, Halloween, and Easter. Most Hebrew Israelites reject homosexuality and transgenderism. 23. Most Hebrew Israelites refuse to be called or compared as Christian. Are they correct on this one? 24. Most Hebrew Israelites believe that this underneath is the 12 tribes of Israel plus the rest scattered who should be able to find your tribes by their father's blood. Judah is the black Americans. Benjamin is the West Indians. Levi is the Haitians. Simeon is the Dominicans. Zebulun is the Guatemalans and the Panamalians. Ephraim is the Puerto Ricans. Manasseh is the Cubans. Gad is the Native American Indians. Reuben is the Seminole Indians. Asher, the Colombians and Uruguayans. Naphtali, the Argentines and the Chileans. Issachar, the Mexicans. I just added a comment. All these people are mongrels. Their organization is headed by a black Jewish rabbi. Now the conclusion to this sermon. The bishop of the Diocese of Covington Catholic has been horrible. The last thing he did was send a paper home to all the students who were on the trip to Washington, D.C., about 250 students, with a place for their parent or guardian to sign, giving permission for them to be interviewed by a private investigative company. Many of the parents and guardians have refused to sign the paper. The parents of Nick Sandman have also gotten a lawyer and are pursuing the false media release of the story. The media picked on the wrong people. The lawyer who is from Louisville, Kentucky, is a very high-powered lawyer who will go after all the wrongful things done to the students. Wrongful things that were said and done can affect negatively the rest of their lives. The lawyer gave everyone who said the hurtful things on media a chance to say that they were wrong and change their view. If they did, they would not be sued. If they didn't, they would be sued. The case will go on for years. The Jewish media is one of the main ones that will be sued. It will be very interesting. Truth is stranger than fiction. To be continued. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.